watch, what you wanna watch.
Welcome back to today's episode of Drunk History. I am Adriana Ramos.
Bam, 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 bam. I'm Zach.
Of course, this isn't Drunk History. I'm just drunk and we're going to discuss some history.
Back to talk about Netflix Has No Chill.
That's what we're here for.
I don't know why I said it like that. It wasn't worth it about halfway through, but I kept going.
You're like, it's a little too long.
It's, yep, that's the thought I had midway through. Felt it. Whatever. We are here, as you saw in the title, to talk about John Leguizamo's latest one-man show. And you can tell that we've been imbibing because we're going to be saying John Leguizamo a lot.
John Leguizamo.
Schlangler's
not. It's not that I can't say his name, it's just that I'm a little too lazy to say
Leguizamo.
It.
It's just a lot of syllables, and John Leguizamo.
That's messed up because
Leguizamo.
I feel like my name is a lot of syllables as well, and I still appreciate when people say my name correctly, so.
I get it.
So, John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo.
I don't know if that's exactly how. I need to hear him say his
Leguizamo.
Name.
I don't know. He makes fun of the fact that nobody knows how to say his name in the one-man shows often. So
true.
I think this is a running joke. But yeah, so we're here to talk about his latest one, his Netflix special. This is the first time he's done it on Netflix, I think. He used to do HBO specials. This one's called Latin America, or what is it? Latin History for Morons.
I'm one of those morons.
One of them morons.
That's why I'm like, what is it called again?
Let me look it up real quick.
I'm not looking it up. I'm just,
Latin America.
I'm just texting.
Latin history. There's no American in there. I think it's just Latin history for morons.
I'm texting here.
I know is that it has a great thumbnail on Netflix. It's got Leguizamo dressed up as Frida Kahlo.
After a long text with nobody with Google, it's called Latin History for Morons on Netflix, so...
Excellent. We were correct.
You were correct. I didn't know what it was called, honestly. I just knew it was, like, Latin history.
You're correct. The premise of this is that John Leguizamo does his one-man show thing. He has done these hour kind of comedy specials, not really comedy. They're very much... In the theater world, what people consider one-man shows. They're like an hour and a half long. They're in that format.
Yeah.
It's very personal about his life. He's telling a very straightforward story about a subject. This time it is the fact that now he's a dad and he feels like his son is growing up without an acknowledgement and a grounding in the culture that he found so important and informative to his own growth as a person.
Correct.
So he's presenting this to us and also... as if we're his son, kind of.
But before we dive into that...
Yeah.
I'd like to dive into my mini-review.
Alrighty. Mini-review of what?
My mini-review is on one corner we have... Oh, that was my giant 8-plus brick
phone.
Gigantic
brick.
Honestly, if you have the iPhone 8-plus, you know, it's not fair because it's great. It's big, it's huge. But then you have to buy like a giant case for it if you're accident prone like me.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a brick. And then you want to have that little thing
you
in
get
the back.
What do you even call that?
I don't know what
it's
called.
It's a little circle with little snappy uppy.
It's the thing that helps you take a selfie or hold your phone or
right, it gives you a little finger
honestly,
hold on the back.
This one is so big that if you like hold it, it gives you a finger cramp after a
while.
That's
crazy. Maybe you just have small you don't have small hands either.
I
don't
have small hands. I have pretty large hands.
You got long little
As
lady
someone
fingers.
Once called me in high school, man hands.
Man hands.
I was like, oh wow, thank you, fuck you.
But yeah, the brick of an iPhone 8 was what you heard a moment ago.
That's what just happened. But on one corner we have maybe in his 30s, maybe in his 50s, white older man on his bike with a blue, possibly navy jacket on, maybe khakis.
I think we're getting bogged
jeans.
Down in the details here, announcer. Maybe we should get to the point. What are you doing a mini review of?
A fight that I saw at a restaurant today.
Interesting. Okay.
This has nothing to do with Netflix. This has nothing to do with any of that.
This isn't even a movie.
This is just life. Because sometimes you just have to appreciate life.
Okay. Well, how did this fight go down? I was there. I just want to hear you tell me about this fight.
It all started with some voices getting louder and louder.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it was like a dude that I thought was being racist maybe. And I was like, I honestly had a thought for a bit. I was like... should I be like those other people who just pull out their phones and record this moment?
Right, the whole time I'm just like, wow, should I be recording this video? Like,
yeah, but
just
then I'm like,
or should I participate? Yeah, like, what are the boundaries here?
Can we
at least give any context of where this fight was? We are at a restaurant, right, upstairs, staring down at the street below us.
Yeah.
And these two homeless dudes were, like, having an argument.
But that's the thing. We didn't know they were homeless.
Well,
I didn't know they were homeless.
Okay. It was,
That's why this story... I would have placed
bets that they were both homeless.
Disagree. I was under the impression that maybe one of these guys was homeless, talking to himself.
Okay. Interesting. Because we couldn't see the second guy.
Because I couldn't see the other dude, because we're upstairs, and this is now when I'm on my second margarita.
Right.
And we just
hear yelling behind us.
I hear yelling, and I'm just like, is somebody yelling? And then I was like, is that guy talking to himself? And then after a while, I see a straw hat come out of nowhere. But it didn't, you know what it looked like? To me, it looked like in Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
When that guy introduces himself,
sure, for the first time to the whole
family, and he's wearing that straw hat and like a blazer jacket like some sort of thing in his.
Yeah, he had like the Goodwill version of that on.
Yeah, but it was still the same thing.
Very true.
Whatever, what that guy wore in that movie was the Goodwill version
That's fair. Okay, so these two guys are yelling at each other on the street corner.
Yep. And then all of a sudden I see one guy just start like swinging his walkie-talkie around.
Yeah, that dude just has some sort of weird improvised weapon. Yeah.
Someone's gonna get punched. And then the other dude on his bike, Mr. White dude in the other corner, he like is obviously getting away from all these punches. He's just like, what are you doing, man?
Right, he's not getting hit at all. He's just like, stop. Getting... stop.
So funny to watch.
Don't make me get off my bike, man. Yeah. Don't make me get off my bike.
Don't make me do this.
Stop it. What are you doing?
And then I was like, are they homeless? And then, at the same time that I asked, are they homeless? The guy responded, we're both homeless, man.
I'm homeless, too.
It was so good. It was such a great moment. And then he was like, I got my box of food.
Right. Don't make me get off my bike, man. Yeah.
And I was wondering what was happening.
Yeah.
Why did this fight start? Why do we fight? I've never been in a fight. So
100% zero of your life.
You've zero of my life, I've never fought.
Wow.
But I'm pretty sure I'd be pretty badass at it.
Yeah, wow.
I'm like ready. Like, part of me is like, can't wait. And then I'm like, the other part of me is like, I'm gonna be 55.
When it happens, and you're like, finally!
And I'm gonna fight somebody, and they'll be like, oh, my back hurts.
Okay, as your friend, I recommend not looking for fights. I'm just gonna put that advice out there.
No, I never do, though.
I know. But
I mean, I look for mental fights.
But I don't know what you mean. Maybe you're excited for a scrap sometimes.
But yeah, just the, like, thrill of, like, I've never been, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. And I know there's...
That's where humanity came from. And everybody before us, until, like, three people ago, were dealing with, like, having to fight for food and survival.
Yeah.
And, like, killing people that might invade their property.
It's in my blood. Yeah. You know?
And not that far behind us.
Yeah.
So...
And it's... Because it's in my blood, part of me gets excited of the idea, because it's something so natural. It's something very natural.
Like, when does it happen?
We just need to fight.
It's been 25 years. Yeah. It hasn't happened.
I'm sure you've definitely had moments when you just, like, randomly... There's a person in your life, and you're like... I could punch this motherfucker, you know? And then every other time you're just like, oh my god, I'm so glad I never did.
Right. I didn't need to know.
Because I don't need to.
There's zero upside, yeah.
Yeah, but we've all had that thought.
So that was a strange little fight. That you didn't even get to the best part.
Dude
on the bike pulls out a knife because he's like done threatening.
It's now we're going back to a scene from The Outsiders or Grease, where one guy just pulls out this like switchblade and is like, I got a knife.
Better back up.
Yeah,
got myself a knife. I'll stab you.
Now? It was so funny. This guy with like the swinging walkie-talkie.
He was like
Goliath.
He's
like Goliath with his little walkie-talkie.
I did not know what his deal was.
Swinging a tree, like hitting everything.
Yeah, smacking every like.
Look what I could do to you.
Part of the environment, but not the. He wasn't like talking at all. We just couldn't hear him. But
I don't know. I couldn't hear him talk. I only heard the white dude talk.
Look, this is just a mini review, so we can't really get into it. It was a crazy fight.
And nothing happened. Nobody got stabbed. You know what happened? Mr. I am gonna fuck you up came in. Yeah, dude from the street. Just separate. I feel like he separated the whole thing, kind of, and was like,
I have no idea how. Once they got like separated a little bit, they were yelling at each other, and like it became just sort of hilarious. I think somebody else downstairs was like calling the cops or something, and so they had already started drifting apart. And then like a third guy who was like jacked was like walking towards the dude with his like swingy thing, and was just like, I will fuck you up. There was no threats about it. No. It was just like, he's like, I will throw down right now.
Like, you, just the way he walked and, like you presented himself, you were like, oh man, please don't swing at him. Like, right. Please walk away.
It was akin to, like a video of, like, a lion walking up to prey and just like, hey, we're gonna do something right now.
I could eat you if I wanted to, but I'm gonna give you the chance to walk away.
And then he ran across the street. He drifted is the right word. He sort of just swung his thing and like kept turning around and like spinning in circles, and he ended up on the other side of the street.
Yeah. So that was
pretty impressive that no tragedy happened. I gotta say, like, we were flirting with tragedy like for like 15 minutes.
For a bit, I was like, I'm gonna watch somebody get stabbed.
Yeah,
it might just be the dude who has the knife stab himself.
Fall and stab himself. Like, I have no idea what's gonna happen. Yeah.
Oh, but it was just fun to experience humanity. Sometimes it's just fun to people watch. Just like experience life.
As much as we watch Netflix, don't forget to people watch.
Yeah, don't forget to go outside.
Yeah.
And just experience life.
Yeah.
But now we're here for the main course.
But let's get to it.
Yes.
The main course this week, this episode.
Latin history. For morons.
Morons.
Or the way he says it. For I think he says for fucking morons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He inserts it. Yeah.
And then he points at all of us. Which I'm like, yeah, you're right.
You idiots watching it. Yep.
Yeah. No, more than anything, it's just like, I am ashamed of the fact that I feel like a proud Mexican-American, but I know really not much of my Mexican history. I know, like, the stuff that we decide is important, like Frida.
Sure.
You know, like, Frida, that's it. Picasso's Italian.
Is he Italian? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I take it back.
But it's okay. Like, Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, these are the people that we decide to fill our history with, but it's so recent. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing that we can think back to, like, George Washington time. And
right.
Be like, give me somebody at the same time as George Washington.
Yeah, there are no contemporaries
doing
from Mexico.
Something
yeah.
important.
Yeah, that and is strange. That's basically what this entire
yeah, it's basically just the argument
about.
That like school, like our schools don't teach us.
Not even our schools. It's like just our history books.
We don't.
Yeah,
but that's it. That's I mean, where do you get your history books from?
Not just school. You can also learn history outside
of school.
Yeah,
of course,
school,
you can go to your public library. If
very
you wanted
few
to,
people.
But most of it is from your school.
Sure. Yeah, it's not taught in schools, but it's also just like been stripped out of or left out of other accounts of history, because. So before we get into kind of what he talks about, sorry, just continue your kind of context of it of. Like, so you felt very similar to the way he positions the audience in the beginning of this.
Yeah.
Of just, like, people who are of that culture but really have no connection to their past, their ancestral roots.
Yeah, it's just, like, I feel some sort of connection. Like, I want to be connected. I want it. But I can't really find the resources. I remember in college when I was studying, like, all these plays, and I was like, why aren't we reading any, like, famous Mexican plays or anything like that? I'm like, is there
Greek
nothing?
Plays. Yeah.
Is,
there are definitely
yeah,
people
there's
around.
Definitely Greek plays. I'm like, why are there no plays from Mexico?
Well, so much of those cultures
and
are oral histories.
I guess, but no, I had to, like, I remember, this is where I felt connected to it. I had to do deep research and find a play. And this is where I found Ignacia. I believe, and she's now becoming recognized.
Right.
But when I looked her up, she wasn't.
Sure.
And she's like a woman who was a playwright, and she turned into a nun, and I think she wrote a play that I read through, and I basically translated the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And that was a project I presented.
Nice, okay.
I was like, here is a translation for
this
play.
Yeah.
Because maybe that's why we're not reading it, because these things aren't translated, because we're not...
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, or they're not documented. Yeah, like you said, they're not written down. Yeah, word of mouth.
Yeah. And they're live theater events that happen once, or they're these fleeting things of art that were stolen or buried or burned or lost.
It's a travesty.
So, yeah, that's basically the thesis of this whole one-man show, which I think is cool.
So, it's about an hour and 30 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
So, not... I mean, it's a typical... Like, almost like a movie.
Yeah, it's like a comedy show to a movie. Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Recommendations to maybe people who are... For me, I would say somebody who is of Hispanic culture who feels, like, close to your roots, but not close enough.
Sure, you'd like to know more about your history. And you'd like to know a little more,
exactly, like you're curious.
Yeah, if you're interested at all in Latin. If you're
Mexican-American, if you're like a Latin American, I think it's very important.
For sure, yeah. And I think if you're just at all interested in that culture, or if you're simply a fan of John Leguizamo, like...
Yeah, true.
If you've seen his other specials and you like his hours of comedy, I think...
He's honestly a talented actor, I think.
Yeah, and he clearly, like, writes these all, and, like, it's coming so strongly from his perspective that they're very, very compelling.
I feel like he could be a distant cousin. I'm just like, I'm gonna adopt him. like we do.
That's so funny.
Yeah. It was funny, too, because, I got asked this question today. When you hear the words or the name John Leguizamo, what comes to mind?
Man, well, it's hard to get, having just seen this, not to think of that.
Is there anything that you kind of knew him for or that you saw him in?
I think my favorite thing of his is when he's in Bloodline. He has, like, this really, like, great small little character side arc in Bloodline.
Does he? And he's
so good.
Oh, I honestly, like, put that out of my brain. I remember.
He's so good. What else has he done? Man, he's done so... The thing is, he's such a chameleon. He's, like, done so many parts, but they're so not him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just blends in so well that it's hard to remember. He's sort of like a... He's like a Hispanic Gary Oldman. Like, on his way to being this, like, 100 different random-ass roles.
Yeah.
Like, this huge body of work, but that, like, he's so good at it that you forget that it's John Leguizamo doing it. Yeah. But, yeah, I think Bloodline is probably my favorite performance. What about for you?
I've been a huge fan of John Leguizamo for a while without knowing it.
Okay.
So, I'm a fan of course, Moulin Rouge.
Mm.
And I am also a fan of Romeo and Juliet is what it is.
Oh, yeah, Romeo plus Juliet.
Yeah.
I had a burp in the middle of that one. There's not a burp in the actual title, but... There was when I said it. Romeo plus Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann movie. So you've named two Baz Luhrmann films.
Oh, are they both?
Yeah. No. Romeo plus Juliet, yeah.
Okay, and then Ice Age, of course.
He's in Ice Age?
Dude, he's the voice for the little squirrel. He's the main character in that. What is it? Not the squirrel.
Sid?
He's Sid, yes. The guy with the lisp.
Oh, God, of course.
Yeah.
Dude, I honestly haven't seen an Ice Age movie in probably 10 years.
Oh my god,
so good. We should revisit,
because it's really good.
If that one's on Netflix, I want to do a review of Ice Age at some point.
I love Ice Age so much that I've seen the like, sequels.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 70.
I've definitely seen those, and I love all of them. Like, every single time I'm like, oh, it's not going to be good. I watch it when I'm with my family, and I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty decent.
I do like this movie.
I actually really like this.
Did you ever see that movie Titan A.E.?
No.
Okay, well, he was in that.
He was in Carlito's Way with Robert De Niro. Al Pacino.
Robert De Niro. Yeah, Baz Luhrmann 100% directed Romeo and Juliet. Sorry, I was just verifying that fact. He was in Super Mario Bros.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I forgot he was Luigi in that movie.
I've never seen it.
Oh, man, that is a terrible movie that I loved as a kid.
Okay.
I love it. Carlito's Way, I've never seen.
Never seen it.
Probably great. He did a lot. Okay, so he really got his start kind of in the late 80s, early 90s, because he was doing a lot of theater and stuff, right? So, like, some of his other shows, one-man shows, have covered his rise to fame in Hollywood and dealing with that. And, so this one is interesting because it's not at all really about that. It's really just him going, I'm a father and I want to show my son the history that we share.
Yeah.
But I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
I thought I was taught it, but I missed a lot of it, and I didn't didn't pay attention when I should have.
I like really wonder if in a way it's like, well, now that I have this stage and that I have these many people listening, if it's worth it.
Right.
To like bring this all out.
Should this be a part of my art and who I am? And I think he's wrestling with all of that in this one-man show, which is very cool.
Yeah. So of course, like the main argument in this is just that Latin people aren't really recognized. We're not recognized in history. We're not recognized in our work. And especially the indigenous aspect of our history.
Right.
Is forgotten.
Right. And sometimes intentionally overwritten.
Yeah.
And like stripped out of history. Yeah. But also sometimes just like the people who were involved didn't write it down and nobody else knew them.
Yeah, and so it just gets forgotten. History is written by the winners.
Right.
So the winners are going to say, well, they didn't matter.
But I think he does a really interesting job of analyzing much of the culture itself, mm-hmm. and like how like Hispanic people are as a people and why they may not have been the same type of people to record their history or go out and like really make it known that they are part of things. Like that's part of, I think, what he characterizes through this is like, look, like sometimes we're lazy.
And yeah, like, no, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that.
And like, we're very, like laid back, and we're like, we're willing to make peace with anybody, which is not how winners are forged typically. Right. So it's like all of these cultural things plus just outside forces and the movement of history have sort of left the Hispanic people out of the books for some reason.
Yeah.
And so I think he's done a great job presenting that story.
And I think also maybe this is because I think his wife is white. Mm. She's an American woman.
Jewish, I think. Yeah. He references that.
Yeah, and like obviously they have kids and they're mixed. Right. And this is something that I think about too, about like possibly us in the future.
Right.
Is if we do have children, it's just how do I keep like my culture alive in them?
Right.
Without completely, because they're, oh man, I hate to say this, but it's just something that's like taught in, that's just engraved in our brains. It's just like racism, for example. White people, you can't be racist against white people because white people are like the upper.
Okay, sure.
That's what I was taught. That's like how I was taught. It's just like, you can't be racist towards white people because white people are of the successful, like, I'm not saying this correctly, of the upper class, are of the winning class. And so racism has to always deal with,
you know, like the postmodern idea that racism has to involve power? Because that's sort of like a flawed idea.
No.
Or are you talking about how, like,
racism is what it is. It's race. It's on race.
Right. It's prejudice based upon race. That's it. Yeah.
Oh my God. This is such a complicated conversation to be having, but
that's okay. Let's try it.
It's not that I regret. I feel as though some of the stuff that I will be saying will offend some people.
Okay.
But
sure, that's not the intent. With context, it's helpful. Maybe. I don't know.
But we've always been taught that, like, the white race is superior.
Okay.
You know?
What do you mean we've been taught? Like,
well, one, we're in America right now, especially with our political climate and everything that's
happening.
You're
speaking, like, culturally, that is the idea
right
that's
now,
reinforced.
At this time. Sure. And, like, living and in 2018.
Forever before, I understand, yeah.
It's just, it's always been that the white culture always succeeds.
Sure. In America, for sure.
Yeah, in America. And
but obviously the definition of white has changed over time.
Well, yeah, of course.
And
like,
has, you know, cut
like
people out.
Like, we're back in the
like
day, Jewish
Italians,
weren't considered
yeah,
white, but
Italians
now they're considered
white.
White
yeah, and now they are, yeah.
Yeah, but I definitely think it has to do with skin color. Like, that's what the whiteness of
right.
it is.
Yeah, that's where the prejudice comes in.
Yeah.
Is it's the obvious identification of otherness in somebody else.
And so I think we've always seen brown people, my people, as just like this working class
right.
who's like kind of in the middle. We don't really hate them, but but they're still less than the white people.
Right.
And it's complicated being in the situation where I'm in, where I am a 100% Mexican, but I'm also of Spanish descent.
Right.
And I have some sort of white in me,
mm-hmm.
and I look pretty pale
mm-hmm.
in my skin color, but I've so become Americanized right now
right.
that I also tend to forget about my culture.
Right. Culturally, you're very American.
Yeah.
But
and
Mexican, like, upbringing and parentage.
Yeah, and I still feel very connected to that, but at the same time, I'm like, but I've definitely become very Americanized.
Right.
And how do you have a child and tell them, be proud to be Mexican, when me, myself, I'm like, I don't know if the whole time I was proud.
Hmm.
I don't know if, like, part of me or more than 50% of me was like, be white,
hmm.
be American,
hmm.
which you're here now.
Do you think, though, that tying it back to what Leguizamo was bringing up in this piece, do you feel that that is because you never really saw, like, Hispanic culture or Latin, like, faces represented in history and stories? Or do you feel like that is an intrinsic part of the Hispanic culture? Because I don't think that's an intrinsic part of the culture.
No, not at all. I think we're very proud. But I think
right,
it's
if
definitely...
you're in Mexico surrounded by Mexicans, yeah. it's a good thing
but
to be there.
I think that's why this is so important with what John Leguizamo was saying, is because we're not seeing ourselves represented.
Right.
We're only seeing all these white people
mm-hmm.
in history books, and then a couple occasional people of color, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. Obama. And, like, these are the people that we, of color, who we have to look forward to. And I'm like, but that's only what, making up a number, 10%, 15% of what we see.
Right. If that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, a lot of, like, complicated and just troubling thoughts came to mind when I was watching this.
Interesting.
Especially one of his lines when he said, Latin men have to work twice as hard to get half as far.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just like, oof,
mm-hmm.
like so true.
Mm.
And women, not just men. I wish he said, like, I wish he included both of us, because I'm like, honestly, like, it's both.
Yeah, I don't think him saying no. men discounts it, obviously.
No, it doesn't.
But yeah.
It doesn't, but... now that I wrote it down and I see it in my
yeah,
notes,
like,
I'm just like,
and women.
Oh, and women.
Right.
Yeah, and I love how we put it into perspective of saying that, like, from point one are the Mayans and the indigenous people,
yeah,
and then
his timeline.
He did a timeline, and then at the end is like, and now we have Pitbull.
Right.
And I'm like, yep.
That is Latin culture and the history. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Put it, well done, yeah. And then... for him to then really break down kind of the indigenous history of the Americas, right, mm-hmm. and how different forces outside impacted those cultures,
yeah.
And how they reacted, and how subsequently they were left behind in a lot of ways.
Or completely annihilated.
Yeah, completely, like, genocides
yeah.
that have just been forgotten.
See,
because of this.
Those things that we don't talk about in our
no.
history books. I didn't know that there was a genocide of these, like, of course I knew that when some
right.
of the conquerors came over, that they killed a lot of
they
indigenous
conquered.
People.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that there was, like, this sort of genocide.
Right, that's, because it can be written off as plague or famine or, you know, smallpox epidemic,
or
right?
Or they call it conquest.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, they're conquistadors. They're just taking new land, right?
Yeah.
Because of that, the history books aren't written as this was an intentional genocide for new land acquisition,
mm-hmm.
right? And then their wealth that they stole, basically, during this time funded the next 200 years of productive society and the thing that led to the Industrial Revolution, right?
Yeah.
Like, there are huge forces of history that are the product of Mexican and indigenous, like, ingenuity and hard work and organization that, because they were technologically on different paths than their conquerors, they got left behind.
Yeah, but they were still advanced. Like, when he talks about that's how what I'm saying. We created calendars, we created,
they're just
like,
on their own different path.
Yeah. And all of, we created so many things that we just, all of a sudden was like, forget that, they didn't do that, they were savages.
Right.
And it's like, no, we weren't. We were just on the opposite side of the world.
Basically, there's like two different experiments of humanity happening simultaneously, and neither of them knew the other one was going on until the Spanish figured out a way to make it across the ocean.
But it's not just the Spanish. Like, that's also it was like Spanish and Europeans. So it's everything that's on the opposite side of the world decided to come to this other side of the world.
Right.
Looking for more for their queens, for their,
And that's
their...
so not the culture that they bumped into. Mm-hmm. Right. They're, like, maybe I'm an outsider and I don't fully understand it, or I'm not claiming to, obviously, but, like, it never seems to me that Hispanic culture, not Latin culture specifically, is very, like, imperialistic. Like, they're not out to conquer the world, typically.
Well, I don't think we had, we, like, were so set with what we had.
Right.
That's what I think. I think that the people, the indigenous people that were living in the Americas were, like, we still have so much.
Right. There was,
we still have so much. There was only, as you said, there was 73 million people there.
That's crazy.
73 million people in the Americas.
Right.
And all different tribes.
Right.
You
different
know, and,
indigenous
and
tribes.
Just with their own cultures.
Languages.
Just, yeah. It was beautiful.
Right.
And then.
Well, it was also violent and
yeah, but it was
difficult
it was
to
humanity.
Survive. Right.
It was humanity at its time.
And it had a right to exist in its own way.
Exactly. I don't think that we, and I say we because I feel like I am, how he said, I have conquest resentment. I just have like this deep, like family root DNA inside of me that's just like still there. But,
well, you have both. That's the contradiction.
Yeah.
You were both conquered and conquistador in some ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't know where I was going with all that. But anyway, I wonder if the people who were in the Americas were so set with their lives and were happy with how everything was going that never at any point did they say, I feel a need to go across that water.
Right.
And just sail to the infinite.
They had figured out ayahuasca, okay? So they were clearly, like, these cultures had a far more spiritual, holistic understanding of the world, even though some of them practiced human sacrifice and really got some things wrong.
Yeah.
Some of them were really, really interested in introspection and connection with the world around them. Meanwhile, we have, like, Europe, whose entire last 500 years has been fighting over the small amount of land that's there. So they're just doing what they've been trained to do genetically, which is expand and conquer and find new and steal it and take it back and make it yours and get better weapons and go out, do that more.
Manifest destiny.
Right. That's where this comes from, is the Viking mentality. It's the Greek mentality. Like all of those cultures combined in Europe made its way over to the Americas.
Yeah. And when it made its way, from the 73 million people that were there, the genocide happened and left them with only 3.6 million.
Right, it's like 5%. That means...
just fucking annihilation.
95 out of every 100 people were killed. And 5% throughout that continent were left alive. And those who were left alive were pretty much taken as slaves.
Were just like slaves and workers. And
And
nobodies.
And forcibly impregnated by all of the European conquerors. Right.
That is
the beginning of your line. Yeah.
And, man, I just... I love when he also says that he did the DNA test, and it comes out to, like this much of indigenous Native Americans, and then this much of, like, black people, and this much of European, and this much of like, Spanish people. It's just, we are just a clusterfuck of everything.
Yeah.
And I completely agree.
Yeah.
I think we are. We're just complete.
Well, I mean, you have to think, like, the people that originally were considered indigenous in down the Americas originally crossed the Asiatic land bridge through Alaska, Right, so they went through all of China, Russia, over that. There was a huge glacial bridge there, which melted away 10,000 years ago. So the people that made it across got stranded from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And so they went on this different path entirely and explored the way down. They, you know, they encountered warmer climates down in the South America. So it's an entirely different branch. And of course, the cultures that resulted from that experiment are entirely different too.
Yeah.
And so, of course, like, the people that were there who were then reunited with European DNA, like, that is just a clusterfuck of where are you from, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of this and that. Whereas, like, if you're straight out of Sweden and all of your family's lived in Sweden for 10,000 years, like, there's not a lot of variance in your DNA just because you started in Africa and you went north and you stayed there until you got pale white-ass skin. Like, that's what happened. And so it's a very clear path and quote-unquote pure, whereas, like, the more, like, traveled your ancestry, the crazier backstory, like, of course you're going to have a variety of DNA.
Yeah. So...
Man, that was a long tangent.
Back to the John Leguizamo thing, this whole kind of story starts because he says that he is helping his son with his homework and that his son has to present a project and it has to have, like, a hero in it.
Right.
And before this assignment comes up, he says that he notices that his son is being bullied at school.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's this, like, little white kid who is bullying him and telling him that he is just, like, a beaner and nothing. And that just breaks my heart to hear, too, because I'm like, part of me is like, I'm glad I never got bullied in that way, but there were little moments in my life where I did feel like I was just like, oh, you're just a Mexican,
right,
and it like
the sting of judgment, ooh, it like just that. Like
burns something inside of me, because I'm like, you don't even know what I am,
right?
You don't even know me.
You're not even being judged as an individual. It's just like the judgment of your skin,
which is really infuriating. But so with John seeing this from his child, he's like, well, I gotta find him some sort of Hispanic hero so that he can shove it in that bully's face and be like, we're not just beaners.
Right, right.
You know, we're Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
And
we've contributed.
And yeah, and I really appreciate the fact that he went into this deep dive looking for some Hispanic, Latino heroes.
Yeah.
Because we need this. We need this right now, especially with Hollywood and everything and with our media. The way he says, he was like, oh, so you don't see yourself in your history books, your television, your...
Yeah, news
your
broadcasts. News, yeah,
like everything. And it's true. You don't. You don't. We're not represented. And we make up, like, I don't know. I think he said, like, 22% of the market. And why?
Yeah. It's very strange. It feels like we're at a moment where there's finally enough pressure to actually change something, and that, like, there's enough voice behind this, and, like, with things like this and art and culture that is going to affect people just because of the popularity of someone like John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
I think we're like, at a weird tipping point in a lot of these things, where it's like, people are like, finally, we're getting close for, I feel like, for some, like... equality throughout. Like, we're making good steps. It's not great yet.
It's slow.
And it takes a long time.
Yeah.
But it's a hell of a lot better than it was 50 years ago.
We're moving. We're moving along is what matters.
And so there's this, then, like, another wave of minority groups who are realizing that they also are lacking in some ways. And so, like, they have been treated differently and don't like it.
Yeah.
And so now they're, like, they have the potential to speak up and make that a thing, which I think is great.
Yeah. So
hopefully this helps that cause.
And so through the whole Netflix special, he's on a stage performing to a live audience, and he's done this before. We watched one of his specials on HBO, and it's called The Ghetto Clown. And that's why I was so intrigued by this one, because The Ghetto Clown on HBO is a fantastic sort of autobiographical, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Story of himself.
Yeah.
And
that's what autobiographical means.
Shut up. And he did a really good job of writing all these different characters and of exploring kind of, like, making each one individual as though you've actually met them. But it's a one-man act. So
John.
Yeah, so he does a really good job in creating these characters.
Yeah. Of course, like, he's such a good character actor that he just, like, writes six different people he's met or versions of himself throughout history and, like, performs that with himself. It's very entertaining.
And I definitely saw that in this. Like,
it's the more refined version of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I must admit, though, I really liked Ghetto Clown a lot more than I liked this one.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't know if it's just because it felt more personal.
Yeah.
And real, whereas this one felt like it was definitely a performance, for most parts, but there were little parts in this that I was like, oh, I really appreciate that. I think he did a really good job.
Did you have any other quotes or moments that you thought were very powerful?
I have so many. One of the fun facts of the Taínos, who were basically one of the most peaceful indigenous cultures.
Right.
And these are the people that Columbus met when he crossed over.
Right.
And he killed all of them. There's no Taíno left.
Right. He exterminated the Taínos.
Yeah, and that's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck? I don't know. It's crazy. It's sad to think.
Right. Like, and that now we have a fucking day named after him? Yeah.
Yeah, and I get where the wrath comes from. Because, I mean, I understood already that we were upset by the idea that there's a Columbus Day because he came over and conquered and just killed people. But right. I didn't know who he killed. I didn't know what exactly he did. I just knew he conquered.
He did because some bad shit, right?
I feel like that's the nice way. It's like the working way of saying, like, oh, he conquered.
Right. And
he was doing a job.
They just pretend that conquer doesn't also mean rape and pillage and burn and kill. Like, it's a whole bunch of horrific things packaged nicely in the word conquer.
Yeah. Fun fact, I didn't know that syphilis came from having sex with a sheep.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was
right? Like, and then in Europe, because of syphilis was so rampant and bad, the wig culture started so people could hide their bald spots from syphilis. And so then because all of the royalty had so much syphilis running around, they had an entire new industry started because of it. Wig making happened because of that.
Yeah. Like that's why you see all these paintings of people with these large white wigs.
Because they all had syphilis and no actual hair.
Had syphilis.
Right. Because they were disgusting, gross, dirty people.
But one thing that I do want to bring up and that I don't know, I guess I appreciate in some sort of way, is that as much as some of the Mexican, Hispanic, Latino people want to be upset with the conquistadores from Spain.
Sure.
I don't feel like I can be fully upset with them because they didn't do what the Europeans did to what we now consider the United States. When the Europeans came over here and kind of took over, I feel like they annihilated everybody. They were just like, kill, 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 kill.
When you say conquistadors, who are you talking about?
Conquistadors, Spain. Because Spain first conquered, like, places like Mexico.
Right. They went further south.
They went a little south.
Yeah, they went below the equator. Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas Spain came over and mainly just tried to, like, convert people to Catholicism, or they, like, made it with us. You know? Whereas Europeans came over and they were like,
okay, just want to remind you that Spain is in Europe, so when you say Europeans, like,
Europeans,
I'm not...
I mean, like, British.
Okay, you're talking about the British Empire?
Yes,
yeah, okay.
Yes,
sure,
yes.
Yeah, those assholes who just rolled up
just
and started
and
cutting
just,
down
like,
trees
we're
and,
like,
and
we're
savages.
We're gonna have slaves, you're a slave now,
hey,
I'm gonna kill you.
I like your house, it's mine, you're a slave.
Yeah.
Check out this gun, bam, you're dead, bitch.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Whereas, I feel like, in some way, we do have to appreciate...
I think you are forgetting how much the Spanish did that as well.
I know that they did that as well. But in a way, there are still indigenous tribes that are alive
Sure.
in like America.
So instead of just killing them, they only subjugated them and didn't kill them.
Yeah,
I see.
Or even if they did kill some of them, they didn't kill all of them. They didn't completely genocide.
Right.
All of it.
Right.
Whereas the British people were like,
if we could kill all of them, that would be great.
I don't want any of them.
None of them left. That'd be great.
Make America great again.
Yes.
Yeah.
So dumb. What a flawed argument. But anyways, because he goes into the history of kind of the Spanish Inquisition and what happened throughout for like to the Aztecs.
He does a really great, fun.
It's very funny. Like, Moctezuma, yeah. Like impression.
It's great. It really puts it in perspective for me because I'm a very visual person.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's how I'll remember Montezuma was like praising this Spanish person and was like, you're a god.
Right, he's like, put on your shiniest armor, I'll just say you're a god.
And we'll tell the people to love you. And this guy was like, but I want this land too.
But once I'm inside, I'm going to kill everyone.
But
so
you have a lot of gold here.
I have a British accent despite the fact that I'm from Spain. Because I'm a fucking conquistador.
But
his visualizations of that is very fun. Yeah. He really kind of captured it all in one moment of...
I feel like this is a way that I would have learned history in my class.
Yeah.
Had it been, like, reenacted in some sort of way for me instead of being like, now, children, open your book to page 337.
How difficult is it for, like, a college professor to be able to do this? Like,
to just, like, one man act it out. I would be, like, so down to watch this and be like, yeah, I want the story. I don't want to read something and be like, that's what happened.
Right, that's why, like, there are some, like, incredible history podcasts that do that very well now, that lay out the story of history more than just the bare facts,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, I think Leguizamo does a great job of that, too, here.
A fun way.
Yeah, it's very fun. Very, like, kind of imaginative, and also very grounded, because he's constantly going back to, you know, him trying to present this to his son, and his son's, like, difficulty with bullies, and like, so there's this very useful grounded character drama happening as he like struggles with this, and then all of the great history that you didn't know, like, stacked in the right spots. Yeah, it's very, very well made, I think.
Yeah,
I'm a fan.
Yeah, at one point he said, like, I'm whitewashed, and I felt so connected to that.
Mm.
I was just like, damn, yeah, I am whitewashed.
Yeah.
And I don't know, to be ashamed of it or to be like, well, I'm moving with my future. Like, I'm moving with the future where we're all just going to be like just one.
Yeah.
Almost like, one breed, or it's a mixture of everything.
Yeah, people from now, I think most people are going to be sort of brown.
Yeah, we're all going to be somewhat brown.
Yeah. And like, our grandchildren will be sort of brown.
Yeah.
Regardless of who mates with whom.
Yeah. It's just, it's going to be in our blood. And I'm no longer... It's funny, like, my offspring is no longer going to be 100% Mexican, but then I'm like, but I'm not 100% Mexican.
Nobody's 100% anything.
Anything.
Because people have existed for a really long time and moved around a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting, because I think there's also him reckoning with that, like, how am I a part of two cultures, and mm-hmm. also how do I give that to my son?
Yeah, who's right? now a part of, like, three cultures.
Right, who's joined a new one on top of the two that I already gave him.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and he's also dealing with how much he rebelled against this as a kid, right? And how, like, his regrets of how he spent his youth instead of learning this stuff. So he's, like, imposing his own, regrets onto his son. Yeah. Like, it's a very complex emotional journey he's going on alongside all of this history.
Yeah. Which is...
What else does he talk about? I feel like there's one more large... He talks about the Incas as well. And, like, he goes into, like, deep South America with, like, Chile, and, like, he sort of draws the map for you and tells you where they kind of invented their own version of the story and stuff. It's fun. It's a great little history lesson.
One thing that I thought was an interesting fact that I didn't even consider before was that when the conquistadors came over and they saw how much gold we had in our pyramids and our, like, god offerings and everything. They were just like, I'd like to melt that down and turn it into coins.
Yeah.
And they just ruined so much of indigenous architecture and history.
Right.
And that's tragic.
Yep.
It's tragic to think, like, not only are we completely forgotten and erased from history books, we are literally erased from the
There's no culture. Like, the artifacts of art and, like, all of those things that would have been melted down, jewelry, those are all expressions mm-hmm. of the culture itself.
Yeah.
And if you get rid of all of them, the culture is erased.
It's all gone
because
to make money, to make
that,
currency.
That could have been exactly where they wrote down all of their records, too. That's the thing. It's like, maybe they weren't an oral tradition. Maybe they wrote all of their personal history on gold tablets
yeah.
because they had that much gold. And
maybe
then when it got melted down...
Maybe in a way it was like the like Egyptians with their pyramids where they have all these... What are they
yeah,
called?
It's like hieroglyphs,
yeah.
but on gold.
We had something similar.
Right.
Because there's proof. There's proof of it that we
right.
have like these huge...
1% of it like, is not turned into gold coins and still floating around the world.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I'm sure that there was a written history.
Mm-hmm.
But...
It's
was
been
it
melted.
Destroyed.
Yeah.
And it's such a tragic thing to think that we've completely forgotten about a culture.
Right. That
just
that,
like it didn't matter
that
enough.
That happens
wasn't
throughout.
Wasn't worthy enough.
And not even that. It was just the misfortune of history is that the thing that they wrote their history down on was the most precious thing to the people that destroyed them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they misinterpreted that most important thing as just the material and not the intrinsic value that was built into the art.
Yeah.
Right? There, because, yeah, it's so... Part of it is frustrating because we have such a limited view of the history. We know so little. So
yeah.
it's largely conjecture and guesswork.
Yeah, it's
and,
just
and
us
piecing
being like,
together
well, maybe.
Small things and like, well, if these 50 things are all true, then it sort of looks like this, right? So there's probably a much richer explanation for all of it, but man, it does seem so tragic from every angle.
We won't know.
Yeah, and we'll never know. That's the other part.
Like whatever we have left, and man, yeah, when he starts talking about how we were actually advanced, it's true. We have pyramids that still stand to this day.
Right.
And like, and that people can't recreate.
Right.
And then you think about how did they put these beautiful. Like bricks up
right.
there.
Right.
They didn't have like helicopters to just throw it up there. No, people had to fucking move.
Right. It
this
was
stuff.
Sheer force of will and human manpower. We think. But
yeah,
that's
we don't
we
even
don't
know.
Fucking know.
We don't know how it happened.
Maybe all of their like technology got melted down. But it is also like how could they have the technology to build those pyramids but not to defend themselves? That's the other like eternal paradox.
Well, the reason that they couldn't, this is also another thing that he brings up. The reason
oh, yeah,
we couldn't really,
yeah, stuff,
we
yeah.
couldn't protect ourselves because it wasn't because they had guns.
Right.
It was because
the
they had diseases.
The best weapon was, yeah, immunities to the diseases that they brought across the sea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we aren't, I mean, there's a reason why when you go to Africa, you have to get shots.
Right.
Because you're not used to those
right.
diseases that are there
yeah.
on the other side of the world.
Right, right.
And now, in a time before vaccinations were
right.
a thing, these people are just coming into this land and being like, oh, hello, achoo, and then death.
I wonder, though, what the, like, percentage of the conquistadors also died of disease and famine.
Maybe, but at the same time, if you have a cold, and you can get over that cold, but then you go to a place that has never...
Oh, I totally understand.
A
yeah,
cold
no,
in
yeah.
their life.
It's like going into a hospital with a new disease and just giving it to everyone in the hospital. It's like they're compromised to begin with because they don't have any like
their
yeah,
body has
they're
never
not
fought
prepared
that.
For this. Yeah.
Whereas your body has probably already fought that, or people who have like all these
yeah,
STDs
rats,
and everything.
Yeah, exactly. STDs.
And these people are like, we
livestock
never
livestock that
yeah.
they just brought across the ocean that have been sitting in a boat for
they're
3
like,
months,
sorry,
shitting all over
you,
themselves.
You had sex with a sheep, and
yeah.
that's how you got this.
Yeah.
And now you gave it to me.
Right.
Like.
That's a thing? I'm sorry, why?
That would be terrifying to hear also, just to be like, now you're going to die from a disease I gave you by
right,
force.
Your choices are, yeah, exactly.
Like, god damn.
Yeah, it's,
what
it
a
was
horrible
a dark
time.
Time.
What a horrible time to be alive.
Dude, thank God we were born in, like, when we were,
now.
Like,
Yeah.
Times were so much shittier, even 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine 1,000 years ago.
I can't imagine 100 years ago. Like, I think about it, and I'm like, dude, I can't live in America 100 years ago. Like, I am not of the correct, like, color.
I'm not strong enough, man.
I'm not, like, I would have to be... I would have to dye my hair blonde every day.
Like, it's just, but how do you do that? It's only 1918. They don't have hair dye yet.
No.
Yeah.
God, just what a crazy... What craziness just happened only 100 years ago.
Yeah, and this is erased history from 1,000 years ago, which who fucking knows what we lost in that like scouring, just undoing of human progress.
Yeah. I think more than anything, what this episode or what this Netflix special did was just really make you realize that there's a lot of history in the world that we don't.
And we'll never know.
And we'll never know that we don't look at and that we'll never know.
And maybe that we'll never even know that we lost it.
Yeah.
Like, there are thousands of groups of people who
could have been water people,
and,
for all we know.
There could be people in the ocean
that we
right
now.
That
we now call mermaids.
That exist
we're like...
down there and are like, fuck those people up there. We saw the Little Mermaid. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
It's insane. I mean, this happens... throughout nature, right? There are more species that have gone extinct than are alive today, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's just an insane amount of tragedy in the search and proliferation of life. Like, it's a fact of being alive that you made it through the competition.
Yeah.
And that a lot of things didn't along the way.
Yeah.
And part of those are human cultures.
Yeah.
And so it's sad to lose those.
And we will. I mean, no matter what, we will lose some cultures because of mixing.
Sure, yeah, they'll get diluted.
It'll just
they'll
be like you forgot
overrun,
that you were
yeah, given up.
Yeah. That you were Kokobalipa too, you know. I just invented one that wasn't real.
Hey, I'd be a Kukulabachu in.
Kukulachu in. Yeah. But I thought this was very eye opening.
Yeah, it was very informative and
Netflix.
Yet fun.
Yeah, it was it was definitely fun. There was moments where I actually laughed out loud.
Yeah.
It's
definitely a show I would want to see live,
Yeah, I definitely want to see him live. I do. But I wouldn't say that this is like a comedy. This isn't like a comedy show. Whereas some comedy, you know, like, for example,
yeah,
the Joe Rogan
special.
One.
Yeah,
I special. Was laughing out loud for
right.
most of the time. Where this one is very informative.
Right.
It's like you're
and there
kind
are
of,
some heavy hitting moments too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Definitely. But there are it's a good balance between informative and heavy
right.
and fun.
But he also knows who he is and how he's coming across
yeah.
and it's very lighthearted at times as well. Yeah.
I would love to meet him someday.
Yeah, he seems like a really cool guy.
I would love to have lunch and just kind of pick his brain.
Huge fan of his work.
Yeah. Agreed. And he's a great actor.
Huge
Such
fan.
A good actor.
Yeah. Man. Such a great actor. Man, Leguizamo.
Yeah. So overall, I think I would recommend this. When to watch? I don't know, but the funny thing is that I saw this on my on Isaac, my brother-in-law's Facebook. He was like, "Hey, I just watched this and it was great.
It's so good." And then
so
we waited
good.
Like forever to watch it.
Yeah, and I was like, "I'm going to watch that, but not right now."
Yeah.
And then I heard I think somebody else also told me that they watched it and that they really liked it. So I was like, I might just give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did.
Yeah. I would give it like a solid B.
B+.
Yeah. Like
yeah.
It's very good for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun, like, different thing to watch on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
If I would say probably it's, if you've got family over, like, this would be a thing I would
if
put on.
If you're Hispanic and
especially
you have
if you have family. Yeah,
if you have family
over yeah.
why not?
Yeah.
Just fun.
Yeah.
Kind of history lesson.
Is it family friendly? Not really, not right? He cusses a lot,
I
right?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, by family, I mean if you're 18 and older.
Sure, or even like fucking 15 and older, whatever,
yeah.
yeah.
If you're a young adult.
A young adult and older, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're drinking a little bit.
Yeah, that's
getting
what
a little swifty.
I had some wine.
Get
it
some Leguizamo. Yeah, a little bit of wine. Vino
yeah.
makes the soul right.
So,
needle pulling thread.
Should I give my quote of the day?
Please.
Violence is the lowest form of communication.
Nice. That's a good one.
And I think that goes all the way back to the homeless people we saw fighting earlier today.
It does. That's the theme. It's a
full circle. That's Violence is the lowest form of communication.
PSA.
God, that was good. That felt good to give that out to the world. Just, you know.
Leguizamo gave it to you. Oh, you're giving it to the world.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks, y'all.
So much.
Catch you next app.